Good morning. It's a blessing to be here this morning, but more of a blessing to be able to come and sing praise and worship before the service. And thank Tom and Keith for what they do, and thank everybody for you also coming. And ask that the Lord may guide us as he always does, whatever goes on. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we just look to you this day. We look to you at all times for your blessings upon us, Lord. We ask that you just use this time, use your words, and use your spirit to help open the eyes of our heart and see you more clearly in everything we do. In Jesus' holy name, amen. This morning's message is called The Great Commission. And before I get into the scripture, I just want to, kind of open your eyes with a couple things, you know, when you turn around and you're trying to come up with something and a message for the on the commission. But I was reading in about the Gallup poll. You know, they've been taking Gallup or polls for quite a while. And in the case of churches, and in particular, church attendance, they started, taking the attendance, you know, church-wise, in 1937. In 1937, church attendance was at 73%. Could you imagine 73% of our country going to church? In a church of their choice, of course. But then, as things go, in 1980, that percentage went down to 70%. And you move up higher to the year 2000, where everybody was worried about changing from 1900s to 2000, you know, the end of the world is going to come or whatever. But anyway, the percentage dropped down to 65%. And it doesn't get any better. In 2010, it went down to 59%. And for 2021, our church attendance, and not taking in account the pandemic and everything, but our church attendance now has dropped below 50%, you know, in the United States, down to 47%. And I'm so happy that New Life Church does not follow, you know, that trend. For a matter of fact, but I still am worried about the percentages because I'm worried who's going to be here with me, come 2069, because that's how long I'm going to live, to 120. And, I just pray that some other people, want to do the same. And no matter how bad things are in the world, you know, God is still in control. But, one other thing, talking about another survey that was taken in 2019 of churches, and says that the poll that they took said that a majority of church-going Christians are unfamiliar with the term the Great Commission. And but even among those familiar with it, only 25% recognize the phrase, but could not explain what it is. I guess maybe it could relate it to some movie or whatever, but anyway, but then only 17% of those familiar with the phrase were of the phrase in the meeting. So at least we still got 17%, you know, hanging on and knowing what the Great Commission is. But I have to say that looking at the fact that only 17% know what the Great Commission is, and the majority were unfamiliar with it. But I know that it's not good to doubt, and especially with the way things are. My I just look at things because of where I am with the Lord, and the way I look to Him and ask for His blessings on everything that I do. And you know, 46 years ago this month, 1975, I led the prayer. I was led in the prayer of salvation, a little place in Korea, in Hwangdong, and I never forgot that. I never forgot that date. But while I may not be the fastest learner, and like I said, it was 46 years ago, and I keep on remembering that I will never forget the day, never forget the scriptures that the Lord puts on my heart, and that I'll continue to be in His service forever, no matter what happens now or in the future, and no matter what, how much money they take from us, that we were supposed to have had. But well, we should never forget that His word means to never forget what His word means to us. And by the way, the Lord is not finished with you. The Lord is not finished with me. And so I look for many, many years to continue to serve Him. So let's look at Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So what is this Great Commission? I don't know how everybody else looks at it. I know that it's always a passage, for what do you want to call it, missions. And it's been in churches where people said, what are we going to do this year? Are we going to go? Are we going to provide resources? Are we going to pray? I don't think that's an option. I think the option is we're supposed to go, but in some cases, and what we're doing in our lives and that stuff, you can't. But the bottom line is the Great Commission is a marching order for the church, but Jesus is also those are His last words before He departed and was gone to heaven. So I think if you look at it that way, and you look with the understanding that it's not an option. Excuse me. It's not an option for us to just stand by and not do anything. And what I'd like to do is just share with you about a pastor had a great church, and it was a church where people came. And dignitaries came and everything, and it wasn't that the pastor was bragging or anything, but they were just telling the fact that their church was very important in the lives of some of our the movie stars and even presidents and other dignitaries. But when the pastor had told everybody about it and asked, stopped and with a big chest and a smile and says, does anybody have any questions? And of course, he had covered everything very well, but didn't get anything. And then finally, some lady in the back says, I have a question. He says, yes, ma'am. He says, when was the last time anybody was saved in this church? So we look for what God wants us to do, the commission we're supposed to do. But I'd like to look at some of the scriptures that we that cross-reference the things that I had just read in the main scripture. If you can you turn to Matthew 28:7? And this is talking about referencing verse 16. It says where the disciples had been told. It says, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of us into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So, Matthew 28:10. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And then one more, Matthew 26:32. It says, "But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." In other words, I think the disciples knew, but I think it was from a perspective, they wanted to make sure that they went there. If you stop and think, before the resurrection and then after the resurrection, what happened to Christ, and for a matter of fact, what happened to the disciples? They all took off and were worried about being arrested and interrogated and things, but the Lord says, this is what I want you to do. And it says, I want you to go to the mountain and, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And there's other scriptures where told them in that reference, and told the ladies, that first came and came to see Jesus after the resurrection, or look for him after the resurrection. But in I was trying to reference the scriptures, Matthew 28:17, is the only scripture that says when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I don't know about you, but if I, and at the same time I'm asking you, how would you feel if you met the Lord? I think no matter what was talked about, and no matter what was referenced in it, but when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. My question is, how can somebody doubt? Everything that the Lord said, happened, and everything that was, going on, was the truth. And the scriptures tell us, just as I'm reading it here, but I just can't, stop and understand why somebody doubted. But then again, I'm sure it was referring to Thomas, but he had to actually see the Lord and actually touch his wounds before he believed that it was him. So, but let's go to Luke 10:22, and it's referencing back to Matthew 28:18. It says where where it says in Luke 10:22, it says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Powerful words, and it helps us to fully understand the Lord had shown, or what do you want to call it, chose to share with them. And The next scripture is John 3:35. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. It's a short scripture, but a powerful words that, and with our understanding that the Father loves us. And we also know that the Lord, has called us to do many things in our lives, in his church, in our workplaces, with our families. But most of all, as we are commanded to, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. But one more scripture in reference of Matthew 28:18 is Ephesians 1:20-22. And it's a great scripture because Andy's going through the Ephesians and showing us and sharing with us. But in Ephesians 1:20-22, it says, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. For above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. They really honor and knowing that that's what the Lord does for us and does through each one of us that do that. In our case, for our senior pastor, has been assigned as our shepherd. And we just love that and know that the Lord will continue to guide us no matter what happens in this world. But let's look at Mark 16:15 and relating to Matthew 28:19. It says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creations. That's our command, or his command, or his departing words for us. And then to Luke 24:47. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Appropriate cross-reference for that. And let's go to the last review for this cross-scriptures relating to Matthew 28:20 says, looking at John 14:26. It says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. And then Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Amen. One thing for sure I do not see in the scriptures is the Great Commission not being an option. And there's some people, like I said, for missions, they decide what, who's going to go and who's going to, send the resources for the missions, or do we just pray? And churches actually vote on that and decide what they're going to do that year. And it kind of bothers me because it doesn't give us that option. It tells the disciples, and it tells us, as is the final words of Christ before he was taken to heaven, what we're supposed to do. And it's not an option. It says we're supposed to, you know, go into the world. And, you know, some people think, well, if I help support a mission or help, you know, praying, you know, I'm not saying we don't do that. I'm just saying that, you know, our first objective is, if we have, and it's something that we prayed and took upon our heart, is to, you know, go on a mission. You know, it's something, you know, I've always wanted to do, but I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that I wasn't able to go on a mission. I've gone, you know, with people to do things, but I've never actually went to a mission in a foreign country. And, you know, sometimes people will stop and think, you know, should we do that or not? And there's a story about one guy that had finished seminary. He was getting ready to go out. He's going to go to a country that did not like most of them, you know, didn't want to, you may not want to go to one of those places, because in some cases, depending on the denomination and their and what the people believe in, you know, you could end up harming yourself, you could end up harming other people that you witness to, and then have problems. But this one student had graduated from seminary. Says, "I'm going to go to this country," and his friend says, "Why would you want to go to that country? You know, it's pretty dangerous to go there." He says, came back with a simple answer that, unless God has accomplished what I want to do, you know, I do not feel that I have a problem, I don't have a problem if God has accomplished it and he's going to, you know, see a way for us. He puts us where he wants us and provides us the resources and the way to do it. So, we answer the call with the gifts and talents that we have that he's given to us to help make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything he's commanded us. And we, you know, do this, and I'm sure that, that your goal, even though we can't go out into, you know, different parts of the world, but when we go out into, our workplaces and the, you know, places where we meet people, or even as being a teacher or leader or associate with the church, that, you know, God is going to support us. He's going to help us, and we're going to have people, you know, pray for us and teach us and help us help the world as a help the word as a testimony to all nations that our hearts can hear. Then, the one thing that was mentioned is, then the end will come. You know, but the end come is another way to look at another interesting way to look at the commission itself. But in the meantime, you know, maybe we should take a check or evaluation on how we're doing other things. Are we giving, you know, to the missions? Are we giving to, are we actually praying about going on missions? Are we, unfortunately during the times of, the pandemic, people haven't been able to do it, but I'll tell you that, as being associated with this church, you know, I'd say closer to 30 than 20 years now, we've been led, you know, by his spirit and led by the pastor, and they've gone into the world with teams to South America, China, Russia, Thailand, South Korea. And even now, as I said with the pandemic, we still support mission-wise throughout the world, 12 missions, you know, every year. And it's a blessing that you know, other churches are having problems and, you know, just maintaining their church, let alone trying to do something. But here we are in, for each one of those missions, and some of them are here in the United States, but many of them are out in the world, you know, for some of the same countries I talked about. But, you know, we're continued to have a commitment to support those missions. And as we support our church missions and others, we continue to follow His words, in the Great Commission. Just want to can you go to Matthew 24, verses 10 through 14? It says, at the time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of the wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he stands firm to the end. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Sounds like a simple and pressing, what do you want to call it, scripture. But, you know, looking at, you know, how much has is left to do, I think something like, of all the, you know, people groups and that stuff, there's estimated to be about, you know, 3 billion people that haven't heard God's word yet. And, you know, that simple statement at the end, and then the end will come. You know, we worry about, you know, doing this, and we worry about doing that, you know, in our lives. But where is, you know, making sure that the world knows about Christ, and the world knows about things that are going on? We seem to have no problem to worry about the what we think are the end times, with the people that are in charge of our you know, country, and what's going to happen next. But then we also see the blessings, you know, when certain people get elected, and we see some light, you know, or some sunshine on what the Lord has and wants to be done. But I think, you know, through thick and thin, and no matter how bad, you know, things get, we have to continue to pay attention to His final words. I continue to for my family, continue to contribute for missions, and just pray that each one of you continue to look to ways to support others. You know, I don't have to tell you where you can, but whether it's just our church for the missions, or whether it's something else you want to and sponsor your children, and sponsor whatever, it's a great encouragement. I know that when I was looking to go to on a mission, I kept on remembering the scripture in Isaiah 6:38. Three through eight, excuse me. If you can turn to Isaiah 6, 3 through 8, I'd appreciate that. And it says, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hands, which he had taken through the tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." And that's always kept in there, you know, and it's kind of, I mean, there's a number, like everybody else, there's a number of scriptures that, support, what you do and what you feel. And I just always remember that one, and really, put that on my heart to continue to serve. Unfortunately, like I said, not going out in the field, but I'm only 72 years old now, so I still have another 50 years ago. So I still will continue to pray for going on a mission and going out into the world. I know that, like I said, the Lord will always provide me and provide you with the resources to go out and support the time. But anyway, let's close in prayer. And as I close in prayer, I also will bless the offering and bless the opportunity for us to serve, opportunity for us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit guiding us in whatever we do. We ask, Lord, that you help us open our eyes and be able to see what you want us to do and do for your glory and do on behalf of whatever is set before us, Lord. We want to be able to look at the world and not be able to doubt, Lord, about how things are going to go, because as far as our concern and our relationship and with you, and we just know, Lord, that if we were to go today or be taken tomorrow and to be with you, it would feel better for us. But then again, Lord, we also know it's better to be able to stay here and be witnesses for you. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to bless this church, continue to bless the leadership and senior pastor, and we ask, Lord, that you just continue to show us the love that we can give in Jesus' holy name. And Lord, we ask that you just bless this offering that we're about to give, and